What's up? Welcome to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd. Thomas Drance is my co-host. He covers the Canucks also at The Athletic. We're broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. This hour of Canucks Talk is brought to you by Rack Steel. You need forklifts that perform under pressure and pallet racking that maximizes your space. Visit them online at racksteel.com. It's a big Wednesday, as always. We'll do the crossover of Donnie and Dolly in a few minutes here. Jason Bukala joins us at 1. It's a Canucks game day. And we're also exactly now 48 hours away from the NHL trade deadline on Friday. So a lot going on. How you doing today, Drance?
Doing well. Just dreaming about Oliver Bjorkstrand sitting in the Steven Stamkos spot on Tampa Bay Power Play 1. What a baller trade.
We continue to see some moves. I'd say it's been a little bit of a slow lead-in. Although, I mean, there's been some trades. Well, Seth Jones.
And we'll get into some more of it once we bring Donnie and Dolly on the program. But I do think... based on what I was hearing this morning, I do think today's likely to be sort of the calm before the storm here for the Vancouver Canucks. There's some dominoes. There's some dominoes around the league. Do you like when dominoes fall?
Who doesn't?
Dominoes are going to fall over the course of the next 48 hours. And as they do, I think that's where action will pick up around a Canucks team that's in multiple markets, and we'll get into it more with Donnie.
Yeah, so just to catch everyone up, Tampa acquires both Yanni Gord and Oliver Bjorkstrand from Seattle. So that's a center off the market and a winger off the market, which could be relevant dominoes for the Canucks, of course, with Brock Besser and Pugh Suter as pending unrestricted free agents. That's the latest trade news around the NHL. We'll keep you posted as anything else comes down. As I mentioned, the Canucks take on the Ducks tonight. No Quinn Hughes in the lineup for the Vancouver Canucks as they try to hold off the positively frisky Anaheim Ducks, coming off a big win against the Oilers last night. And again, we will speak with Jason Bukala at 1, but right now they're ready and waiting. Let's start the crossover with Don Taylor and Rick Dollywall, the hosts of Donnie and Dolly, which you can check out Monday to Friday, 10 to noon on Check TV. They join us as they do every Wednesday for the crossover. What's going on, fellas?
Well, a whole lot of Canuck news, a crack in trade, and an echo that we're getting in our headsets. Hello, hello.
What else is new? We hear you guys great.
Yeah.
No echo, beautiful.
Oh, that's good. Well, it's probably our fault. Ryan Henderson has had a really tough day.
Oh, yeah.
Producing our show today, so I'm going to guess really it's something tough to do with him. It's not at your end.
Well, it could easily be gone.
The echo's gone.
All right, it's gone. We did it. We fixed it. Very good.
We fixed it.
A confident thumbs up from the control room, so that's very exciting.
Awesome.
Well, where should we start? Should we start trade deadline? Should we start Pettersson? There's a lot to dig into over the last 24 hours or so.
Let's just yell at Rick. Let's just start with going, Rick, what are you hearing?
Thomas, you and I yell when we talk on the phone. Like, it gets pretty bad.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't want to do that on the radio.
No, what do you mean?
That's what we always do on the radio.
Also,
do you want to do it this time?
Rick, I mean, my wife hears our phone calls sometimes when she's in the passenger seat and I'm driving hands-free, and she thinks it's great. Just loves it.
Lots of yelling, F-bombs. Oh, yeah. Big time.
Nothing like being held captive to a Rick Dollywall, Thomas Drance yelling match. That sounds like a delight.
There's sometimes his name will show up on the caller display when he calls me, and my wife will turn to me and just say, no. Okay, Rick, what are you hearing? What are you hearing?
Yeah, your wife is smart.
What are you hearing?
Huh? Oh, what am I hearing? Oh, no, I was
looking at... You got to deal with?
Yeah, okay. All right.
What are you hearing? Not my question.
Okay. Anyways, listen. It sure looks like the three guys that I think Vancouver's looking at to move in this week, for sure, are Suter, Soucy, and Forbert. I checked this morning on Soucy, and there hasn't been any contact with the Soucy camp all week long. Because remember, guys, they got to ask him to waive his no trade. I don't think they've talked for a couple of weeks, actually. So I checked in on Soucy this morning. There's been no contact with the agents, but they're definitely trying to move him. The Suter contract talks, they have not talked specific numbers, just loose talks. Canucks are very well aware that this guy's going to get a big raise. He's at 1.6. I mean, this guy's going to get, and Thomas, I think you've thrown around 3.5 to 4. And
he had bananas before.
I had a banana. I had a banana. Hold on a sec.
One banana or two banana there, Rick? How many are we talking about?
One. Okay. I ran out of time. Let me get back to Suter. So I think they're far apart in contract talks with Suter. Teams looking for depth. You can count Florida as one of those teams. But I just think the Suter's another player that, you know, I think they're hoping they can get done by the end of this week. But I do believe they're far apart, and I do believe Canucks probably can't get to his new number. Brock Besser, not much has changed when I checked in this morning. Same situation. Nobody knows yet which way this is going to go, guys. You either trade him or sign him or keep him or whatever. But are they really going to sign a guy in 2 days that they haven't been close with for 8 months? If the Canucks get the right deal for Besser, they got to move him. I think we all know that. But I just, everyone you talk to on Besser, like everywhere you go for info on Besser, it's the same thing. We don't know which way this is going to go. I was told this morning, not much has changed. It's the same situation.
Well, I do think, Rick, that we increasingly should have some confidence that the idea of a last-minute extension prior to the deadline is unlikely. Right. That's the one thing I think, like, you know, people say keep keep sign or keep extend or trade. What are they going to do? Like, I don't think they're going to extend. I think there's a material disagreement about price. I don't think those two sides are going to be able to bridge that gap between now and Friday at noon. So it's really a question of how hot is the market for Brock Besser? Right. How much can the Canucks get for his services, and how do they weight that versus, you know, the reality that they'd be weakening their team in the midst of a playoff race? Right. Are the offers sufficient to get the Canucks to move? And one thing that I think we should be watching here, especially as Bjorkstrand goes to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay was probably one of the most obvious teams that was going to be in the market for a right-handed winger. A Palmieri or a Besser type, they end up getting Bjorkstrand, who's got another year left on his deal. Makes a ton of sense for them. But the two main sort of winger dominoes that I think are holding up the market, one of the reasons that I expect it to be quiet around Besser today, is Mikko Rantanen, right? We know that there have been contract talks with Carolina. I think Nick Kyprios reported yesterday at Sportsnet.ca that he wasn't expecting a deal to get done this week. But either way, by Thursday, we're going to know, A, could the Hurricanes get Rantanen done? And B, regardless of how that goes, do they make him available or not? Obviously, Rantanen would immediately vault to the top of the list of potentially available scoring wingers. And then Rickard Rakell, who's got 4 years left on his deal, has 52 points in 62 games so far this season playing on Crosby's wing. Not a lot of urgency for the Penguins to deal him, but we know that the Penguins are looking forward. If he moves too, I think that could complicate the Besser market. We'll sort of see, because if Rantanen and Rakell are on the market, that's one thing. If they're not, Besser might be one of, if not the, top scoring wingers available, and that could mean something very different in terms of the decision that the Canucks are facing on the keep or trade front. But, I don't get the sense that an extension at this point is especially likely before Friday at noon. I think we can at least rule out that one possibility.
Yeah, yeah. It would be pretty shocking. And I find the Pew Suter side of things really fascinating here as well, because I know, you know, people look at the Besser thing and I don't think there's a ton of appetite for keeping him as the classic own rental. But I know people also say, well, hold on a second. How are you going to score goals if you lose Brock Besser? But I am a little interested in how they handle Pew Suter, because they're already so thin at center. If they trade Pew Suter, if they're comfortable with trading Pew Suter, I mean, that is a big, big hole you open up down the middle. I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. Like, I don't believe in the own rental thing, but I would be I'm very intrigued to see if they're actually willing to move a center who's been as important for them as Pew Suter has ahead of the deadline here, because he's a pending unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, I mean, is Pew Suter holding their feet to the fire? Is that where this franchise is at? I mean, I'm sorry, he's had a great season. He's a very good hockey player, but maybe that says everything we need to know about this franchise. They got a punt on this season. I'm sorry, but look where they are in the standings, dropping, and their best player is going to be out, it looks like, for another mm-hmm. significant period of time. You heard yesterday, Rick Tocchet talking about, and it almost sounded like he caught himself, that there was a possibility he was going to be, and he's not playing tonight, that he's going to be out for 7 days, a week, whatever the case may be. I don't know, I don't think you can go out of your way and worry about Hugh Suter. If you get something decent for him, who knows what he's going to do next year. I know he's been a solid National Hockey League player, but if you can get anything for him, I think you go for it. You could lose him anyway. Same goes for Brock Besser. It'll be a sad day, but if he wants what's being reported, like 5 years, eight per is not enough. I'm sorry, I love the guy. I love the player. I love the person, but you gotta let him go.
I don't disagree.
How can he be sentimental with his team is what I'm trying to say.
I don't disagree at all. I just know how much the team values making the playoffs, right? And that's my point. And I think you make a good point.
No, like you're bang on.
If Pugh Suter is so important to your team that you're like scared to lose him, that tells you something about where your team is. But he's also really important to this team that's trying to make the playoffs. So I agree with you. I'm just going to be, I'll believe it when I see it, given what we know about the Canucks and how much they want to push for the playoffs every year.
Yeah, and so many of the moves, and I know Thomas has talked about this before, so many of the moves they make, every move they make, and Rick, you've talked about it as well, you have to wonder what, and this sort of contradicts what I just said, what does Quinn Hughes think of the move? Because he's a UFA in 2 years, you know, you face the possibility of losing that guy. You know, how bad will it look if they rid themselves of Brock Besser and Quinn Hughes doesn't like that, and that just greases the skids even more for him on top of all the losing. It's such a really weird time for the Canucks right now.
And they have to, guys, every move they make has to be with Quinn Hughes in consideration. They've lost Horvat. They've lost Miller. Besser might be gone. We don't know Pedersen's future.
Yeah.
You know, we don't even know Demko's future. Like, think back to the core. Like, look at the guys I just named you. These are significant pieces. I know, the core hasn't done much. They haven't gone far deep in the playoffs, but you got to keep Quinn Hughes in mind. And Thomas, I said on Monday, I'll be shocked if the Canucks sign Besser. In 8 months, you weren't close, and you're going to sign him in 5 days. I'm with you, Thomas, 150%. You either, kiss, like I was told this morning, not kiss, but I was told this morning, I don't know.
Where were we going?
I paused. I paused. I said kiss.
Kissing your sister?
Kiss any chances of him signing
goodbye.
That's what. But I paused after kiss, and that's what screwed it up.
I was also told this morning that I'm a handsome young man.
I wouldn't go that far. I'd want to see some evidence of that. Listen.
Well, you're seeing it right now.
No, I'm not. I'm looking at him. No. I don't see handsome there. Listen. Thomas, I'm with you. It's either trade this guy or you keep them, because honestly, give me a break. You think they're going to cut a deal in 48 hours? Like, seriously?
I think it would require
we're getting down to the nitty gritty.
Yeah, I think it would require the Canucks to move significantly, which I don't expect, or it would, require Besser to move significantly. And just given his UFA status and sort of where he's at and where talks have been, it could happen, but I would be surprised at this point. With Pugh Suter.
But Thomas, Thomas.
No, please.
But Rick and I have been disagreeing with this on this all week. But isn't this a lot of, you tell me, isn't this in a lot of cases when deals get done, when that pressure point comes? And that's the trade deadline. If indeed Brock Besser wants to stay, I know that time is running out, but isn't this when a lot of deals get done? Like when you're buying a house and there's competitors and the deadline is coming up, that's when things get, that's when things happen.
Well, one of the most famous ones in Canucks history, Donnie, was Alex Burrows' agent. Right. On the phone with, the Gillis era. I don't remember. It might have been Gilman, might have been Lauren Henning, one of the lieutenants. And they basically had a trade ready to go if Burrows didn't sign that 4x$8 million deal. Right. The $2 million contract that he had, that was that massive steal when he was a consistent 30 goal scorer. And it was like, this is the contract or this is the trade. and obviously the player signed. So yeah, I mean, there's a moment where yeah, you can put a sort of very black and white decision in front of a player in their camp over the course of this week. But honestly, I just think there's too material a disagreement on the price of the brick. That's my view of it. And, you know, I heard Tocchet today comment about Besser, you know, sort of, he doesn't have Millsy anymore. Millsy drove a lot of play for him, right? And so you get to this point where it's like Besser's scoring profile over the past few years, the 40-goal season last year, he's top 50 in the NHL in goals the last 5 years, 30 goals per 82-game guy over the course of his career, you know, demands him to be paid like one of those max term, big money star player deals. But do the Canucks view him and want to value him more like a complimentary top of the lineup piece, more like a Tyler Toffoli, right? As opposed to, you know,
Timo Meier.
Yeah. Perfect. Right. And that's a pretty big gap.
Good pull.
That's a pretty big. Yeah. Thank you, Jamie. This is why he's the best.
That's right.
That's the dynamic here. I just think it's a fundamental disagreement about price, and I don't know how that gets bridged in the next 48 hours without one side really relenting significantly.
Yeah. It would be shocking if they signed at this point. Shocking. But who knows? One phone call does change everything. We got to keep saying that.
Well, you know, we had a big argument on the show, like we often do, about this situation and about how Besser maybe felt... what was the word you used?
Disrespected
by the Marcus Pettersson deal and the Drew O'Connor deal, deals that happened very quickly after acquiring those players. Meanwhile, you know, Besser and his group has been negotiating with the Canucks for a long time, and nothing. And I just don't know if that you know, the argument was that in the end that I just don't know that you feel disrespected. It's a business. These are the things that happen, and that. You know, there's not the same price point when it comes to, you know, Pettersson versus Besser or O'Connor versus Besser.
Well,
and what surprised me the most was how many people agreed with me. I usually get ripped on this show. Everyone agrees with Rick. But how many people agreed with me? It's like, listen, disrespected is turning down 5 times 8. That's what a lot of people said.
Well, and I don't know, like, disrespect or not. I get what you're saying, Don, but I also wonder if it just makes him less likely to bend further than he thinks he's already bent. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be that his feelings are hurt, but if the team is valuing you in a certain way, you might just say, okay, that's fair. They're like, it's a business. They're entitled to do that. But that also makes me less interested in a massive hometown discount to stay here and more interested in testing the open market. I don't have a problem with either party in that situation, right?
Those comments today from Tocchet were interesting about Millsy, you know, being the provider of goals.
I wouldn't use a nickname for Miller normally. I just want to be clear.
Oh. Yes, that was direct from Rick Tocchet.
Direct. Quote. Yes. No. I know exactly where you were coming from. That's what they do. Tocchet is the king of doing that. By the way,
Chris Tanev. Chris Tanev's the all-time greatest.
Yeah.
Chris Tanev used to drop like a Mizey. He came up with Huggy for Quinn. Yeah. I mean, on and on. Chris Tanev's a legend of the hockey nickname.
Rick, you mentioned Thatcher Demko's name, and I was listening to your guys' show earlier as well, as I often do during my prep, and I know you brought up Thatcher Demko's name. Now, obviously, he's injured right now, but having signed Kevin Lankinen to a long-term extension and with the continued health concerns or at least questions about Thatcher Demko, questions about his availability, is there a situation you think where maybe not ahead of the deadline because of his health, but going into the summer where he could be on the market, potentially on the move if the Canucks decide to go in a different direction?
Forget the summer. This week, they got to listen on, obviously, Besser, but they got to listen on Pettersson. They got to listen on Demko, Hoglander. Like, the only guys I see safe this week, like, honestly, are Hughes, Hironic, Marcus Pettersson, and Lankinen. Those are my safe don't move guys.
I think Elias
Pettersson,
too.
Else, for various reasons.
I think you can add Elias Pettersson.
Is what? You're safe?
Safe.
Yeah.
You do know, Thomas, that if somebody calls, you got to listen. You got to listen to the guy.
For sure.
I mean, you have been listening on him for months.
But the value is so low right now.
But you're saying he's safe.
I mean, he's safe before that.
Nobody's going to call.
But nobody's going to call,
no,
and the club
that, but
wants to be patient with him. There's no benefit to doing it now. You know, maybe it's. I'm not saying it's not something that doesn't get revisited at the draft, given the size of the liability and how you know mystifying his performance has been. You know, you'd be it would be malpractice not to consider your options up until that NMC kicks in. But I just don't think that's going to happen this week. I don't think it's really on the table. Not that it couldn't happen, just not something we should expect. So I would file him away.
I just said I would listen on all those guys. Back to Demko, Jamie. It's going to be fascinating. The biggest thing for me is when he comes back from his most recent injury, how long? Where's the durability?
Yeah.
Is he going to be gone again in 2 weeks? Or is he going to handle, you know, is he going to be healthy for the rest of the year? And if he comes back and gets hurt again in 2 weeks, then I think that would be injury 5 in less than a year. Then I think the club says, holy smokes, what do we do here? But his durability will answer all the Canucks questions by simply his durability from here on in. If he can come back and go coast to coast the rest of the year without getting injured, that'll be great for him. If he can't, like they got to really look at the NHL draft at him too.
I think they know in that they signed Lankinen for 5 years.
Yeah, that's true, Don.
They have a pretty good idea what could be ahead for Thatcher Demko.
So really quick.
Absolutely.
I do get a sense of concern. I don't have any specific details, but I do get a sense of concern about sort of where Demko and Hughes's progress is. And I think as the Canucks look to be both buyers and sellers, but definitely to sell their pending UFAs, because I think other than Carson Soucy, I'd be pretty surprised. I don't think the club's actively exploring trading any players with term right now. This is purely a rental exercise plus Carson Soucy between now and the deadline. But I do think that the uncertainty that now surrounds two crucial engines of this team, right? I think if Hughes was at the height of his powers and the Canucks felt pretty confident that they had, you know, Demko right and at 100% going into the playoffs, I think they'd be a little bit more inclined to keep this group together and see what happens in the postseason, because Demko, obviously at the top of his game, can steal you a series or two. You know, if he was at the level that he was at last year before the injury. So, you know, I think the uncertainty on those files, this is the sense I get. I do think that's made the Canucks more likely to be future oriented in how they approach the next 48 hours leading up to the NHL trade deadline. Not that they're listening to you, Donnie, but I do think the team has a pretty clear-eyed assessment of where they're at, which, you know, I love to hear as sort of team rebuild.
How do you know they're not listening to Donnie? Yeah.
Well, no,
you don't know that.
I was just saying Donnie's probably really happy about it. And the other thing is the Canucks also will look to buy, right? They will look to buy, especially if they sell a higher-profile player like Besser, mid-20s age range, and guys with term. And by the way, not guys who are expiring to re-sign, like the O'Connor,
not Marcus Pettersson and O'Connor,
they weren't in the Jake Evans market before the Montreal Canadiens made that deal, for example, despite the fact that he's a right-handed center in his late 20s, in part because he was expiring. Like, term youth, those are the types of pieces that the Canucks are actively looking to buy between now and the trade deadline, especially using any assets that they're able to gain from the sale of their pending UFAs.
All right, let's
it's
talk.
It's just so strange. Go ahead, Jim.
I hate to cut you off, Donnie, but Elias Pettersson, we touched on him briefly there, and are you guys believers now in the Elias Pettersson renaissance? It's upon us. He spoke to the media for 5 minutes and he didn't storm off. He was friendly. He made jokes. He took accountability. Is it something? Is it nothing? I know you guys had the poll. Is it encouraging? Is it more of a case of talk is cheap? I kind of think both things are true. Like, yeah, it's better than not doing it, but it also doesn't matter at all if he doesn't improve.
You're on a talk show. You have to take a stance here. Come on.
That is my stance.
Come on. I just think that I felt good for him. What I heard yesterday, because I think there's a million things going on with that player right now. And Jamie, you're bang on it. It comes down to what he does on the ice ultimately. But get all that other stuff off your plate. You know, ease your mind a little bit. Get people on your side. You know, get the media on your. Maybe somebody talked to him. Whatever the case may be, he came through with that interview yesterday, and I thought it was a real positive. Get all the extra stuff off of your mind with the media. Get fans on your side and move forward from there. At least he got that taken care of, because I think that might have been weighing on him, not as much as his on-ice struggles, but it was definitely there, especially after his comment to Ian McIntyre last week in Utah, which he apologized for yesterday, by the way. I think it was a good step for him to take to clear his mind. Now he's just got to get his legs going.
That looked like a guy to me that went for a long walk, a couple of days off, and kind of cleared his head and had a really good news conference and basically said, you know what, it was honest. It was absolutely enjoyed the fact that he said, look, I haven't been great, and I got to be better. And you owned it, and he did everything right. Now, here's the great part. He owned it. The interview is done with. Now, tonight, get out there and be a difference maker, because that's all the team wants, the fans want, and the media wants, because at $11.6 million in a Canadian market, you can't underperform all season long. So you know what? You did a great thing yesterday. I just love hearing the fact that he was that candid. But now tonight, let's see. Let's see what we see tonight with Pettersson. Is he going to be a difference maker? Because that's the only thing that people ask.
And before, he almost got the feeling there was an arrogance there, like, well, yeah, I don't really have to improve. The points, whatever. Now you get the feeling that he realizes he has to improve it. Maybe it doesn't happen the rest of this season. Maybe it happens after a real tough offseason. I'm not sure. But at least you get the sense that, hey, he realizes that things got to get better, and that in order to do that, he's got to look in the mirror. I thought it was a real positive yesterday.
So first of all, I think the organization was not too impressed by the Ian McIntyre clip. I think the organization has seen since they returned from that road trip, just like a commitment at practice. I think there have been some pretty high-level conversations between management, the coaching staff, and the player. I think there's a belief that he's, in fact, cleared his mind. I think Dolly's choice of words there was sage. Echoes almost exactly something I'm hearing internally. And I think there's hope that what we saw yesterday in that media availability is an outcropping of that, a match to what the organization has seen internally, with the way that Pettersson has sort of turned the page after a road trip that I think constitutes the least impressive five-game stretch of his career. Like, as poor as he's played over the last 12 months, guys, I thought that five-game road trip performance was another level of fecklessness on the ice. Yeah. That said,
that was tough.
You know, I don't know if we're going to see, like, an immediate uptick in his on-ice form, but at this point, as we're looking for rays of positivity here, I do think showing some maturity, right, in terms of his work habits, in terms of his preparation, in terms of being a spokesperson for this organization, right? In terms of doing the job required of someone who wears a letter on their sweater and is the highest paid player, just in terms of showing up and showing a little bit of humility and treating people with a basic level of respect. You know, I think doing that, whether or not his on-ice form comes about over the balance of this campaign, still matters, right? And so I'm hopeful that we'll see this translate to on-ice performance. But if we don't, that doesn't mean that this wasn't still an important step for the organization to see internally. And I think people were pretty heartened by it, in addition to what they've seen from him from a work ethic, from a commitment level perspective, from a clear his head perspective over the course of this week since the team returned from that galling road trip.
Totally agree. I agree with this. The clearing his head, clearing his mind, big thing.
I want to let you guys go, but before we do, I got to bring this up, Rick. So last week, you broke the news that Noah Juulsen out for the year with a hernia. And sucks for Juulsen, local guy. Obviously, he's done a lot of good for this team, as much as fans were disappointed with his performance this year. But the thing that stuck out to me the most was watching your guys' show that day. Rick, you forgot that you had suffered a hernia earlier in your life. And not only did you forget, you started a sentence saying, I've never had a hernia. And then you stopped midway through a sentence and realized, wait a second, I have had a hernia. How do you forget that you had a hernia?
I've only had
How
one
do you forget?
I've only
had a hernia of the brain.
I've only had one operation in my life. hernia, and it was painful.
You performed it on yourself, didn't you?
I took 2-3 weeks off. I couldn't walk stairs. I had to bandage myself there. I'm telling you, it was painful. I tell you,
and boy, it all went down the memory hole. It all went down the memory hole. Yeah, he had an amnesia hernia. Can you put those together?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Anyways, that stuck with me. That one's going to stick with
not
me for a long time. No,
not
I bet not. I bet not. So much fun you can't even remember it. All right, guys, we'll let you go. We will chat next week. We'll break down everything that happens at the trade deadline for the Canucks. Have a good one, guys. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys.
That is Don Taylor and Rick Dhaliwal, the hosts of Donnie and Dhali. Monday to Friday, 10 to noon on Czech TV as Dhali threateningly points a banana at us after he signs off on the monitor. But that, to me, like an all-time Rick Dhaliwal moment where he's like explaining a hernia and is literally like, look, I've never suffered a hernia. And then he says, wait a second, I have. On air, on his show.
Incredible.
Great stuff. Great stuff from Rick Dhaliwal. We'll take a break. Lots more game day coverage from the Vancouver Canucks versus the Anaheim Ducks coming up here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.